Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Computershare Limited acquisition of Wells Fargo Corporate Trust Services and Equity Raising conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Stuart Irving, Chief Executive Officer and President. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's call. It's a special day for Computershare, and we're glad you can join us. On the call today, I have Nick Oldfield, our Chief Financial Officer, and also Michael Brown from our Investor Relations team. Today, we'll take you through our transformational acquisition in corporate trust and also the underwritten accelerated renounceable entitlement offer to partially fund the transaction. Now, we've released a presentation pack to the ASX, and it is on our website. And I'm really just going to refer to the first two pages of the pack on this call. And then, as the operator said, we'll then open up for questions. And just as a reminder, we will be talking in US dollars unless we state otherwise. Now, we do want to provide you with plenty of detail today, so we'll show you some very clear disclosures in this deck. But as well as the numbers, I'll also talk about why this acquisition is so attractive, why we like the corporate trust sector, and what our integration and growth plans are going forward. So let's make a start on page 7. So today we're announcing the acquisition of the assets of Wells Fargo Corporate Trust Services, or CTS as it's called in the US. As many of you will know, we have been looking at accelerating our growth strategy in the US corporate trust market for a significant period of time. Now, this purchase catapults us to a clear top four market position overall, with CTS holding a number one market position across a range of the products. But before we get into the business, I'm sure a number of you are wondering, how was Computershare able to buy this asset? What about other local players and PE firms? And how did this acquisition come about? Well, we've been patiently courting Wells for a couple of years on the asset. And we've got a good business relationship with Wells elsewhere in the group. And given that they're now simplifying their business, the timing has worked for both organizations. Now, Computershare did have some advantages in the process. Banks own most of the other corporate trust providers, and they have to put significant reserves against the assets, and their total cost would be higher. We also have a US banking license, also credit ratings, and you need all of those to operate in corporate trust. And of course, not all PE firms have them. We know how to extract the businesses that are entwined with their parent. Now, we've done more complex separations and transitions than this before and delivered the expected synergies. But it is hard yards and technical, and again, this may well have put some other people off. And we were also able to do detailed DD on the ground. We have lots of resources in the US, and we've had full access to the business. And we've been able to satisfy ourselves that we know exactly what we're buying and what we can do with it. So fortunately, given the investments we have made and the platform we have built, we were very well placed here. Before we go further, let me just recap on what corporate trust actually does. Corporate trust provides governance and administration services for corporate and government bond issues. A corporate trustee is formally appointed via a trust deed for the life of the bond to ensure the bondholders' rights are appropriately administered and maintained. Now, CTS commenced operations over 80 years ago and now administers a portfolio of over 26,000 mandates. The average life of these mandates is over 9 years, and its relationships with the bond issuers can be over 20 or even 30 years. It has an excellent reputation and very strong client retention. Now, these appointments provide a growing stream of recurring trust fees. Recurring revenues make up more than 75% of total income. And in calendar year 2020, CTS had total revenues of around $480 million, revenue ex margin income of $390 million, and an EBITDA of approximately $84 million. The business has around 2,000 full-time employees, mainly located around the Midwestern states. Now, the purchase price for the acquisition is $750 million. The full spend, including regulatory capital and liquidity and stand-up capex, is around $1 billion. Now, the stand-up costs are a little bit higher than we would typically expect. It's all about us standing up a business that was deeply integrated across a larger bank and setting it up to run in the ComputerShare environment when that tech infrastructure is not coming over. Most of it is one-off IT and systems-related costs, and we have a deep handle on what needs to be done. Now, we're funding the deal with a mix of new debt facilities and equity via fully underwritten, renounceable entitlement offer. And we think this is important and a fair structure for all eligible shareholders. Now, we're paying 8.9 times EV LTM EBITDA pre-synergies for the acquisition. And we also have a detailed plan to deliver $80 million of cost synergies over the next 5 years. As a reminder, for the first couple of years, we will be focusing on separating the business from Wells. And then as we integrate it into ComputerShare, that's when we'll deliver the majority of the savings. Now, this leads us to ultimately a 15% plus management earnings per share accretion on a pro forma FY21 basis, including full run rate synergies. And as we build and integrate this business, we have a clear pathway to 15% plus ROIC in CTS in over 4 years. Post-completion, and including the equity raise, our approach to capital management is maintained, and the net debt to management EBITDA leverage ratio will be around 2.5 times. Now, that is a little over our neutral range, but after 12 months, with the operational cash flow we generate across all of our businesses, we expect to be back under into our neutral zone under 2.25 times. And as many of you know, our balance sheet does delever organically. I'm now on to page 8, and I'll talk you through a little bit of the strategic rationale. Now, some of you will have heard me say that outside issuer services, our existing corporate trust business is a jewel in our crown. We know this business very well. CTS has many of the same attributes to what we have been successfully doing in Canada for over 20 years. And in the US market itself over the past 4 years. We are the clear market leader in Canada, and this acquisition is a continuation of our strategy to build share in the US. Now, the key members of the CTS management team are transferring across to ComputerShare, and with their combined 26 years of average industry experience, we have a lot of expertise that we can leverage to grow the business and continue to improve the returns. Now, we like corporate trust because it has structural growth. The volumes of bond issuance and securitization programs have grown by around 7 to 8%, that's 7 to 8% per annum over the last 25 years. This is a market where 20 trillion of CT assets under administration, and this business has high quality compounding fee revenues. The barriers to entry are significant too. Our US corporate trust business has multiple regulatory licenses and approvals, even though we were only ranked number 8 in that market. And importantly, corporate trust is capital light and has scope for high returns on invested capital. After the initial stand-up, capex costs, integration, and regulatory and liquidity costs, we do not need to invest significantly more capital in this business to grow. It is capital light, just like our issuer services business. And the 15% ROIC pathway we map out on page 9 is based on continuing organic growth, cost savings, and the interest rate curves as they are today. And we're not armchair economists speculating on margin income or relying on any moves in rates to generate these returns. But why do I mention interest rates? Well, simply because there's over $60 billion of third-party cash balances that will transfer over. And to be clear, We bought CTS for its strategic appeal as a standalone operating business. That discipline was absolute. But these growing balances and the optionality to interest rates they provide may deliver meaningful value when interest rates eventually trend up. However, let me break up the $60 billion. Around 17 of that is very similar to the deposits we already have at ComputerShare. So going forward, that type of deposit doubles in the group. And finally, there's an additional $40 billion or so of average balances in money market funds. Now, these earn a basis points fee. We also believe that we can switch around $6 billion or more of these deposits out of MMS and into our traditional higher yield client deposit buckets after we complete. Now, this recapture strategy from MMF into balances has been driven through a reverse of the Wells strategy to move these balances off their balance sheet. Now, including ComputerShare's own $17 billion of average daily balances that we announced in February, we expect to have around $80 billion of average client balances in Q2 FY22. Now, even for a miserable, dour old Scot like me and a miserly, grumpy Yorkshireman like Nick, when and if rates rise, we might even be able to crack a smile, as clearly we will see further benefits. And finally, speaking more about what I love, there is lots of scope for product improvement and technology innovation here. We can improve the customer experience, enhance existing products to deliver additional revenue streams, and lower the total cost to serve and drive a digital-first strategy in an industry that has typically not invested in tech. The business very much reminds me of US registry in the 1990s, and overall, that strategy didn't work out too badly for us. So I'm now going to hand over the call for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Ed Henning with CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. Can you just touch on, you know, how you think about the competitive environment in the US? You know, do banks, you know, potentially price cheaply to get the full customer relationship, or is there risk of that? And, you know, is, you know, how do you, I guess, compete on a standalone basis, and is there any difference between the US and Canada, please?
Thanks, Ed. I guess one of the key questions I always ask when we're looking at an acquisition is, what will happen when we change the name above the door, right? You know, is it going to be detrimental as far as, you know, sales activities because we're not, you know, a large U.S. bank, for example? Will it actually be a benefit? We spent a great deal of time talking with the management team, and clearly while Wells has a lot of deep expertise in this marketplace, the consensus is that with ComputerShare and our ability to apply new technology and services and enhance the client experience, there should not be any significant client attrition issues, or there should be no impediments to be able to grow new clients. Conversely, they believe that it will actually create a better opportunity. Some of the management feel that they've been a little bit hamstrung in some of the things they've been able to do. And as ComputerShare provides a sort of a leaner model for them, we believe that there'll be no risk because ComputerShare's name is above the door. As far as Wells is concerned, you know, Wells have always been a competitor of ours for a number of years in the registry space, and they use that share of wallet very well in terms of bundling products. But they didn't really bundle it by lowering the price of some of the adjunct products. It was all about, you know, the lending component at the corporate level. So you don't see contracts that are sort of, you know, just in terms of market rates, et cetera, in this business that are potentially out of whack. So, you know, we believe that we will have a very strong proposition in ComputerShare and are quite happy to go toe-to-toe against the other competitors in the marketplace.
And is there any difference between, you know, the competitive environment in Canada and the US? Because obviously you're competing against all banks in both places.
Not significantly. I mean, there's a decent amount of crossover. The relationships form a part of it. It ultimately comes down to services, you know, relationships with the legal firms that do these structures and their comfort in terms of dealing with you. And clearly, because we're bringing over, you know, all of the CTS management team, all that will remain intact. And, you know, we're also protecting ourselves to make sure that we've got retention there as well. So, you know, it's not a business where, you know, there's one or two rainmakers in it. It's not like that. You know, that would certainly be a risk and something that I've seen in other businesses in ComputerShare that, we'd be at pains to avoid. So I think that, as I said before, our offering going forward in ComputerShare will certainly be able to stand up in the marketplace, and the competitive and sort of deal dynamics across the banks, I think, you know, I don't see particular risk to client attrition, and I also believe we will be competitive in winning new business.
And just one last one to follow on from that. Do you think, or is there an option to get any distribution alliance with Wells or a bank to partner with them, or you just don't think you need it as you don't need it in Canada to be successful?
So we have, as part of negotiating this transaction, we have a large number of, contracts with Wells as far as partnership going forward, across a range of the products. I think that, should be any referrals, they are still more than happy to refer it into this business for a period of time. You know, we have a servicing contract with them outside of the TSA, et cetera, that goes for a significant period of time. So I think, you know, again, we're able to de-risk that element to that. We have a very strong relationship with Wells even before this transaction, with the work that we do across ComputerShare. So I think, you know, any sort of bank referral policy from Wells will still be able to be maintained going forward.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Andrei Stadnik with MS. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I wanted to ask two questions. First question, just around, revenue recognition and slide 18, because I think you mentioned, Stuart, that balances have been growing at 7-8%, yet trust fees are growing at more 3% CAGR. So how should we think about that gap, and is there any revenue recognition or any, you know, pricing pressures?
Andrea, I might ask Nick, who's on the line, to take that one, please.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. So, look, I think the first way to think about the revenue is slide 18 talks about the fee revenue, the fees that the business is being paid for servicing a range of the products. The in terms of the accounting that goes with that, there is a little bit of upfront revenue, which will go to the revenue recognition point. That really depends on the product mix, you know, what the underlying product that is being serviced. But the element of deferred revenue isn't particularly material, and so you won't see sort of significant revenue deferred out to future periods. Beyond the sort of the trust fee revenue that you see on slide 18, there's obviously also a couple of aspects of revenue that we should think about. The first one is margin income, as Stuart already talked about, which is very similar to what ComputerShare does already. And then the fees that we earn on from the money market funds, from the balances that are invested in money market funds. And again, that's their fees that are sort of earned on earned immediately, and there's no sort of revenue recognition associated with those either.
Thank you. And I want to ask a second question around the 257 million of transaction and transition costs. Kind of two parts to this. Just want to confirm that, you know, the numbers we can see on slide 14, the 210 million and the 103 million, they're actually both, you know, part of, whether they're both part of this 257 million. And also, you know, what is the rough feel in terms of the timing of over the period over which this 257 million will be spent or invested?
Okay. Do you want me to take that as well, Michael?
Yes, please, Nick. That'd help.
Yeah. So firstly, the $210 million of execution costs that we call out on slide 14, Andre, those expenses are spread out over the first couple of years. And that really covers the separation or the extraction of the business out of Wells Fargo and the period of the transitional services agreement that we've negotiated with Wells. There's a further sort of $21 million, which is part of the sort of the longer term transformation, and that's going to be incurred over the years 3 to 5. The $257 million that you sort of called out on, which is on page 10, that's not to be confused with the $210 million of execution expense. The $257 million is really the upfront cost associated with the acquisition and standing up the business within Computershare environment. So we've got a regulatory capital requirement of around $115 million. There's some upfront capex of $103 million. Remember, this is an asset transaction, as Stuart said. So we need to, create the environment for the business within the Computershare organization. And then there's some transaction cost of about $38 million.
Okay. And so just to double check, so, you know, there's the $257 million, and then the substantial addition to that is this extra stand-up capex of $103 million. Am I reading that correctly?
So $103 million is included within the $257, which is part of our upfront stand-up expense. Over and above the 257, or over and above the 103 of CapEx, which is included in that 257, there is $210 million of transitional expense, which is the cost of extracting the business out of Wells Fargo and integrating it into Computershare, and that will largely be spent over the first couple of years of the acquisition.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Simon Fitzgerald with E&P. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my questions. Just the first one, could you just remind us in terms of the current size of the corporate trust business, both in the USA and Canada, that's just Computershare at this point in time, pre the acquisition, in terms of revenue?
Nick, why don't you take that? There's a page in the deck that lays out some of those details.
You're right, sorry. Yep.
But look, the US business is pretty small from a corporate trust perspective. This was all part of our, you know, it's kind of like the Computershare way, you know, we identify a market that we want to expand in it. We move into that in a fairly small way, take the time to speak with the clients, speak with the operators, speak with people in the business, find out where, you know, they think there's operations or where things could improve. And through that, like, I think we were sort of, you know, depending on the product, maybe number 8 or 9 in the US marketplace. So fairly small. As you calculate that, whether it's on deal size or deal amount or whatever the tables are. Up in Canada, we were sort of number one in the marketplace across the vast majority of products. So, you know, this acquisition is all about expanding ourselves into, you know, the attractive U.S. market, right?
Okay, then just the second question, then I understand the stand-up CapEx that's required. You've been clear about that in terms of separating the business from Wells Fargo. But in terms of the additional regulatory capital, can you just sort of run us through that, just given that you've been in the business for 20 years, as you've mentioned, and you also have multiple regulatory licenses already at this stage?
Yeah, so ComputerShare acquired a federal banking license back in 2005. For those that have been following the stock for that long, it was actually part of the Equiserve transaction, you know, which prior to being owned by DTC was part of Bank of Boston. So we've had that trust structure in the U.S. for a significant period of time. We've got good relationships with the OCC. And normally, you know, we're not a deposit-taking institution. But, you know, that aside, we still have to maintain regulatory capital as part of that regime. And that regulatory capital is sort of calculated out, you know, it's really all about, it's much more about your operational costs more than anything else when you're not a deposit-taking institution. Clearly, this business, you know, increases our size of our trust company and the operations. And as a result, you would expect an increase in terms of the regulatory capital that we would have to provide. Now, just one thing interesting, Simon, as far as this transaction is, you know, with the full agreement of the seller, we've actually been engaged with the OCC right throughout this entire process, saying that we're contemplating looking at it and then giving them a little bit of details as we went through due diligence and then firming up our plans, et cetera. So we've spent a fair amount of time with the regulator, so we're pretty confident around where we think that regulatory number will be. And that's the reason why there will be an increase. It's not about the deposits, because our strategy is very, very different, and it's the same strategy that we've had in ComputerShare for a number of years. It's more just about the enlarged part of the organization, which is why we have that increase in our regulatory capital.
Okay. And then just the final question, just to be really clear on this bit, in terms of the $1 billion of capital deployed, the $210 million is not included in that, is it, in terms of the execution costs?
No, because they'll flow through the business's P&L, right?
Yep, understood.
So you know, that's, you know, like it's TSA charges. And, you know, at the moment, the business is getting charged internal costs, but now these internal costs wrap up into a TSA, you know, things like that, and it will all flow through the P&L of the business.
Okay, no more questions. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Kieran Chidgey with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Morning, Stuart and Nick, Michael. Just a couple of questions on the revenue mix. Just wondering if you can give us, obviously you've broken out between trust fees and sort of margin income, but from a product perspective, what proportion would be relating to more conventional debt products as opposed to structured products?
Yeah, look, I think there's, you know, up in Canada, you know, we're sort of comparing against the mix. You know, we've got a fair amount of detail about that. We haven't put that in the disclosures today, Kieran. But what we intend to do is have an investor day later on in the year. You know, we'll break that all out. We'll give you where we are in specific products and specific markets, et cetera, and, you know, be able to provide that information. Certainly, you know, the Wells business, you know, takes us into the more of the structured products that we hadn't been in the US before, but we're also in some of these structured products up in Canada, so it's products that we understand very, very well, but, you know, we will break that out down the track.
All right. I mean, for now, I'm just trying to get a sense of, I guess, what the key drivers are of the business. Is it sort of corporate debt issuance, is it RMBS growth? How should we think about what's actually going to drive volume over time?
Probably both of these things, right? You know, because we are, you know, the CTS business is probably number one in RMBS in the US marketplace.
Okay, and there was a question on sort of the trust fees, which obviously includes some initial upfront fees. I think you mentioned, but sort of more through the life of the transaction. Are they basis point fees? And
no,
in terms of sort of basis points,
they're not basis point fees at all. You know, they're much more akin to what you'd see in the registry in terms of fee for service for providing the administration. It's not got anything to do with the, you know, the debt size of that component or anything along these lines. You know, it is much more of an administrative fee structure. Yep.
Okay. And I mean, lastly, just off the back of that, obviously we've been in a falling interest rate environment for a lot of the period post GFC and recent years in particular. I mean, how do you feel about the growth outlook of this business, putting the interest rate leverage aside in the margin income in a rising interest rate environment?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things. You know, I mean, we know that trust fees, you know, outside of margin income have been very consistent in terms of the growth, and we see that sort of 3% per annum, you know, both up in Canada and also there, because it sort of ties with the underlying issue of debt and securitizations in the marketplace. I think that there's also, you know, opportunities in our business case to perhaps work the balances a little bit harder. Now, that is not relying on any interest rate increases, but for example, you know, the CTS business doesn't put term into some of the deposits for yield enhancement and things like that. You know, they've been moving things off balance sheet and into MMS, and we can reverse some of that back there. So look, we do believe that we will be able to, on a like-for-like basis, improve the margin income revenues just as we apply Computershare's treasury strategies. So, you know, we think that's a sort of positive going forward to the business outside of the general rate environment.
Thanks. And just a final question on the global opportunity post this deal. You've obviously got Canada, and this all sort of significantly upsides the US. Are there sort of opportunities more globally that would make more sense sort of off the back of this?
It's a great question. You know, as I said in my opening speech, you know, it certainly in the US, it feels as though like transfer agency 1990s, you know, these businesses are no longer sort of core to some of the banks. You know, some of the investment that you actually have to do for efficiencies, you know, they tend not to be high up in the priority queue within some of the investment areas. You know, clearly our focus will be on executing this. This is a large transaction for Computershare. You know, we've got to extract it out of the bank. We've got to get the synergies. But I do believe that there will be some market consolidation. We have looked at other assets, and I think just in terms of some of the scale was a little bit, you know, sub for us. But, you know, what we're doing in the U.S. in terms of spending time in the market and understanding it, you know, we've got the same strategy right at the moment happening in Hong Kong and elsewhere. But it really comes down to, you know, why we actually find corporate trust attractive at the end of the day, you know, and that's it's a business we understand very well. We've been in a long time. You know, it's recurring revenue base. It's got structural growth underneath as far as in the trust and securitization program. And it's capital light, you know, unlike mortgage services. So, you know, that's the thing that we like. And, you know, I think that there's also opportunities to upgrade sort of the tech and the client experience. These are all the things that we like about this business. And I think there may well be opportunities down the track that you know, we will be focusing very much on executing this transaction and not taking our eye off this price.
Great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Andy Chuck with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, Stu. Hi, Nick. I just wanted to follow up on Andre's question around the balance growth of 7% and trustee fee revenue growth of 3%. It kind of feels like there's a bit of pricing pressure. So could you possibly comment on the pricing environment and the outlook?
Right, the what environment? The pricing environment?
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, obviously there's pressure on the balances from a pricing pressure just because of yield at the moment, right? So that's pretty well understood. I think generally in the marketplace, you know, when we've been speaking, you know, prior to speaking with the management team here, that the pricing pressure they see, they believe that they can reverse by some of the plans that we have for sort of deployment of, better reporting functions, more digitization of the process rather than the manual side of things. I think that's, you know, their view. I don't think that there's not sort of all-out pricing wars. You know, I mean, these contracts, you know, is if you're servicing the asset well and you're timely and accurate on your reporting, then, you know, they are renewed and they invariably renew at slightly higher prices to sort of reflect that environment, and if we can work on the cost line there. So I'm not seeing any sort of, you know, competitive sort of strong pricing pressure at the moment. And obviously it's on to Computershare. And I know that the management team coming across are excited. You know, they're going to be, you know, a bigger fish in a smaller pond in the Computershare group. You know, they've got a list of things that they believe that will enhance their business and enhance that fee growth. And, you know, we're aware of what they are. And as part of our not only moving it out of Wells, but then the ongoing transformation of that business, we should be able to improve where that you see that 3% at the moment. But that will take time. Yeah.
Great. Scaling. So with the acquisition, obviously a lot more scale now in the business. Can you just talk through what kind of benefits we can expect? Does it help you guys win more mandates, or is it more focused on the margin side?
Well, look, I think it does help us win more mandates. You know, being able to have that scale. I mean, clearly the initial focus is going to be around, you know, client retention. I mean, I think the dynamics of this business, I mean, just from a client attrition perspective, you know, it's even lower than registry, which is quite amazing. I mean, that's sub 2% per annum. This is sort of lower than that. So we've just got to make sure that we continue to, you know, perform as we go through this transformation on that sort of client retention piece.
Fantastic. That's all from me.
The next question comes from Matt Dunger with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my question. I just wondered if I could ask about the opportunity you noted, Stuart, on opportunity to optimise the term of the balances. What term could you run these balances on? Would it be similar to the existing or longer?
Similar to the existing is probably the best way to sort of categorize it. I mean, obviously, with these balances, there's a mixture of, you know, what we call exposed and non-exposed. But, you know, as I said, the business doesn't put into term. You know, our treasury teams have, you know, analyzed this in a fair amount of detail, working with the business management and understanding the balances, how long that money hangs around for, how can we actually optimize it under the Computershare treasury model. And as a result, you know, part of our returns is that we do believe we'll get a slight yield enhancement by deploying some of these strategies as well. Now, I mean, I think it would be fair, and I'm not trying to be disparaging to Wells, but, you know, The balances within CTS were not optimized for the benefit of the CTS business themselves. It was, you know, the balances kind of moved up into the mothership, so to speak. So, you know, I think that, you know, we do have a reasonable amount of opportunity to certainly get that yield enhancement and get sort of higher margin income revenues on that basis. But, you know, again, and just to reiterate, you know, this is not a margin income play by Computershare. This is very much about taking what we have. Rates will be what rates are, and making the balances work harder, like we have done in the rest of the group.
Great. Thank you very much. And just a second question, if I may. Given the capital commitment that you're making to acquire this business, does the transaction have a bearing on the previous $150 billion mortgage servicing UPB target?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, obviously, as part of this transaction, we went through, you know, all the cash flows and inflows and outflows. And, you know, we're still committed to acquiring MSRs, you know, at an appropriate run rate in our mortgage service business.
Thank you very much.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from David Pace with Greenscape. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. I guess looking back over history, you've done a number of scale acquisitions. I'm just wondering whether internally, you know, you maintain an integration playbook of types, and whether that makes this integration any easier.
Hi, David. It's a great question, and I think it is. And I think that, you know, I've seen other organizations try to carve things out of banks and struggled for a period of time. I mean, you know, I feel very, very confident. You know, I cut my teeth in Computershare extracting businesses out of U.S. banks. Yeah. You know, we acquired assets from Bank of Montreal in the U.S., which was a Harris Trust acquisition. You know, we took the entire corporate trust division and the transfer agency division at the same time out of Scotiabank up in Canada. You know, I've done transactions with Fifth Third, SunTrust, to name but a few, and then most latterly Bank of New York Mellon, which was around about a $550 million acquisition, and extracted out that. We do have a playbook, you know, and, you know, certainly, you know, the teams hear it very much directly to me when I talk about, you know, the fundamental principles of a transition services agreement and how we're going to work with that. You know, we do have to maintain a long-term relationship. We know how to stand up these businesses. So I think that it really places us you know, ahead of any potential competition because of our track record. You know, and we've made mistakes along the way. We haven't got everything right, but we have learned from that. And, you know, let me tell you, it's pretty hard being, you know, the technology team and the ops team when they come in and talk about their transition plans because, you know, I'm all over it. And, you know, asking all the awkward questions. You know, I think that we've actually done a really good job. We've actually, you know, the management that we're going to put up here, there's going to be an integration CEO that will report directly into me. That individual just spent the last 2 years doing the European, you know, Equatex integration, taking that out of, you know, Switzerland and getting our clients onto it. So, you know, look, I'm not going to pretend that it's going to be easy taking a business with 80 years worth of tentacles all throughout Wells, but the reason we've been doing due diligence in that exclusive period for so many months is to really understand that. So, you know, I do think we've got an advantage there. We've got the experience, and, you know, I'm confident about what we can achieve, certainly in that first 2 years of getting it extracted and standing it up. And then it will be on to the sort of the bread and butter of you know, digitizing and getting the other synergies.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will now pause momentarily to allow questioners to register. Your next question comes from Nigel Pittaway with Citi. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, guys. Just a quick question. I mean, obviously, if you look at sort of your competitors now in the US trustee market, they are mostly all sort of banks. And you sort of half touched on this, but, you know, what advantage and disadvantages do you think that gives you in terms of sourcing business in this space?
I think it's a great question. When, you know, I was probably asked that about 20 years ago, Nigel, when we were buying transfer agency businesses, all your competitors are the banks, right? And, you know, are they well-loved businesses in the banks? Are they investing in these businesses in the banks? You know, are they high up the priority queue, you know, in the bank to be able to, you know, provide additional services, more enhanced reporting, tech, you know, enhanced products for clients? And I don't think these businesses are. You know, I'm not trying to diss these organizations in any shape or form. I mean, clearly they're large, but, you know, we have the gentleman that ran all of the corporate trust business for Bank of New York Mellon on our board, Joe Velli, who's heavily involved in it. You know, Steve Rothblum in the U.S. ran corporate trust for Harris Bank when they sold it to Bank of New York Mellon, and in fact knows a number of the Wells management team as well. So, look, you know, I mean, banks, you know, they're large or formidable. Sometimes that makes them a little bit slow and from a nimbleness perspective. And I think that we can, you know, take advantage of that, you know, modernized experience for the clients and, you know, be very, very competitive in the marketplace.
Okay, thank you for that. And then just maybe just on, I mean, obviously you've been very clear that the first couple of years are all about separating it from Wells. I mean, to what extent do you think that sort of does restrict you over the first couple of years in doing what you ultimately will want to with the business moving forward?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at the synergy profile, the synergies, like we think we've got a very good line of sight about what these synergies are in the first couple of years. But, you know, the first order of the day is extraction. Clearly, whilst we're doing that, we're also thinking about product development, how it's going to look and, you know, what our priorities are for, you know, year 3, 4, and 5. You know, we've got a good handle on that. But, you know, it will be, you know, a delicate dance as we extract the business out of Wells, make sure that it continues to operate well. And everybody knows what the pathway forward is from, you know, both from a client perspective, internal perspective, et cetera. So, like I think that when you don't fully, whilst we might own it, but while we don't fully control the real estate, you know, you are hampered a little bit. And I think that's exactly what we've shown in the synergy profiles. I completely agree with you, right? You know, there's probably things that we'd love to do a lot faster, but we've got to do this transition correctly. You know, clients come first in terms of making sure and maintaining the services and the quality. And then once we actually get it off, we've got far much more leeway to be able to introduce the changes we want to see. And again, it's exactly what's reflected in the synergy profile.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. We will now pause momentarily to allow questioners to register. Your next question comes from Kieran Chidgey with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Just a follow-up question on margin income leverage. Are there hedges sort of within their business, and how should we think about sort of, I guess, how quickly or how directly that leverage to rising rates comes through?
There is no current hedges in their balances.
Okay. Right. And
when you think of the exposure, A little bit like ComputerShare, you're going to have the exposed balances and the non-exposed balances. Probably around about, you know, $8 billion or so that sits in that exposed bucket. And, you know, 10 or so that sits in the non-exposed bucket, where you don't get the full benefit from a rate rise. But as I said, you know, one of our target is to move some of the funds that have been put into, you know, MMF, back out of MMF and back into our deposit strategy. And, you know, as I said earlier, part of returns is not waiting on rates to rise. Again, we've not baked that in at all, but we do believe we'll get yield enhancement by applying the treasury policies that we have in place with ComputerShare today.
All right. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Irving for closing remarks.
Well, first of all, a big thank you for joining us at short notice this morning. I mean, given we've been courting the asset for so long, it's actually great to be able to talk to you about it. Lots of hard work, you know, ahead, you know, at ComputerShare. But we are very pleased to expand on one of our best businesses. You know, we have said that, you know, outside issuer services, you know, corporate trust is a little bit of a jewel in the crown. And it clearly and squarely is in our strategy and also in our core competencies. Now, just a reminder, you know, why we like corporate trusts: high quality, structural growth, recurring revenues, cash generation, and scope for technologies to drive efficiencies, and also that optionality to rates that we've talked about. You know, we have a clear path to a 15% ROIC in CTS. And we know what we have to do to separate and integrate and how to do this. And we have done harder ones before. But thank you again, and we look forward to updating you as we progress. Really appreciate it.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.